Hi, welcome to the Integrative Health Podcast with Dr. Jen Plegar. This podcast is meant to educate and empower about important health topics. Dr. Jen's passion is to get to the root cause of disease and prevent illness. She will also feature guests who are experts in their fields and experiences in all things related to integrative medicine.
Hello, this is Dr. Jen. Welcome back to the Integrative Health Podcast. If you enjoy this episode, please subscribe and give a 5-star review and share with your friends. Thank you so much for tuning in today.
This week's review is from Healthy78. Have enjoyed learning from your podcast. I really appreciated your episode on thermography and breast health. I experienced great pressure and then fear when I chose not to do the conventional mammogram the second time around. Thank you for your positive and helpful guidance on actually taking care of our bodies in a more holistic way. Thank you so much, Healthy78, for that review. Hi there, it's Dr. Jen. Welcome to this week's episode. So it's just me this week. I am going to talk about school lunches. So if you follow me on social media, I have posted some very interesting menus regarding some elementary and some middle school menus. Let me read some of them to you. And I know a lot of you get very heated on this. So Monday we have pretzel with cheese cup or barbecued rib sandwich, baby carrots, and apple. Tuesday, chicken nuggets with roll and margarine, or Italian wrap with corn and orange. Two is a munchable or PB&J uncrustable with cheese sticks, celery sticks, and Korean raisins. Thursday's mini corn dog or yogurt and sweetbread, baked beans and applesauce cup. Friday is the mac cheese pizza or ham and cheese sandwich, tossed salad, and fruit of the day. And you get 1% white or chocolate skim milk, available daily. And then let's give a little rundown on the breakfast menu. We got a cereal bar, goldfish crackers, juice, applesauce cup, and milk choice. Tuesday chocolate breakfast bar, goldfish crackers, juice, raisins, or milk choice, and milk choice. Wednesday muffin, goldfish crackers, juice, apple, milk choice. Thursday cereal bar, goldfish crackers, juice, Korean raisins, and milk choice. And Friday round up that week with a donut, juice, applesauce cup, or milk choice, otherwise known as insulin rage breakfast, where your insulin and goes so high to control that raging glucose level. Okay, but seriously, school lunches are less than desirable, but what can we do about them? So I sat down with my students, my kids, they're the school lunch administrator, who's actually a dietitian, and then the school principal, who's actually going to be taking over the job. And this meeting, it was in my free time, it was in their free time, an hour out of their day, and I really learned a lot, and I wanted to share with you guys a lot about what I learned and what you can do to help your children in your community. Now, when we look at the actual food choices and the rules, so these are nutrition standards in the National School Lunch and School Breakfast Programs, okay? This is guided by the government, which, right, we really don't want the government involved in our nutrition. I don't, at least. But unfortunately, they are regulated. They are regulated by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the USDA, okay? And they have standards that they have to follow. And I will put these standards in the podcast notes for you guys. So let's talk about the specifications. So for grades specific K through 5, grades 6 through 8, and grades 9 through 12, they have specific breakfast meal patterns and lunch meal patterns. And these patterns are things that they have to go by. I first learned this when I sent my children to preschool. And if they were a recognized preschool, you had to have like so much like fruit and whole grains in their lunch. Or they would have to add them on or whatnot. And they either have to offer milk or a milk alternative. So when you get here and you look, I'll go through the breakfast meal pattern. Let me just focus on grades K through 5 and the amount of food per week and the minimum per day. So fruit is 5 cups. This is per week. Grains 7 to 10, meat or meat alternative 0, and fluid milk cups 5 per week. So I have a major problem with this because this is breakfast and you're giving lots of grains and lots of fruit and no meat or meat alternatives. Now, when talking to the actual school, you know, who's in charge of the program, the dietitian, she said that it has been very difficult during COVID because they have not been allowed to offer hot breakfasts. So a lot of the food has been packaged, like those donuts, those goldfish, those bars. So they're really limited, and also limited with, you know, money and all of those things, because the breakfast tends to be the government subsidized free program. So they do realize it's a problem. Now, what I tried to talk about during this meeting is I was really trying to talk about what could we do to make these lunches a little bit better, even though we had to stick with guidelines and they had to be cold lunches. And, you know, talking about adding in things with more fiber and less added sugar came up in the discussion, and that was really helpful, and that was good feedback from me, a concerned parent, and not only concerned parent, a concerned physician. My kids eat breakfast at home, but this meeting was not about me and my kids. This meeting was about the kids in the community, and especially those that need to, that maybe are underserved, and this is where they're getting their only meals, is at school. So that is what we have to look out for. Now, I was happy to see the really interesting part was I didn't know this, and I'm sure you guys don't either. The actual bars that they get, when you look at them, for example, I have the handouts here, the Kellogg's Pop-Tart made with whole grain frosted strawberry. So if you look at this conventionally, one that you would grab in the store, it's actually different. It's going to have actual red dye in it. Okay. Now this one does not have red dye in it. Its dye comes from natural flavor. So it almost reminds me of more like Europe based food when, you know, where they have cereals that are better quality there. Now this Pop-Tart still, you know, it has folic acid in it. So that's bad if you have MTHFR mutation, whole wheat flour, corn syrup, which is awful. The second ingredient is sugar. Like I said, vegetable juice for color, which is good. Dried strawberries, a lot of bad preservatives, which are horrible for kids with ADHD. There is soy in here, soybean oil. So like I said, not ideal at all, but I was pleasantly surprised that there wasn't red dye 40 in here. I was very pleasantly surprised. Now there was this ZZ's nutrition bar, cocoa cherry, that they had on there. And this one, also, you know, made from wheat, also folic acid in it, corn syrup, sugar, soybean oil, however, and natural flavors. However, the good news was, is that it didn't have actual, you know, red dyes in it. So it was a little bit, you know, I was like, oh, that's better than it could be. But total carbohydrates, 33, fiber only 2, total sugars, 16, added sugars, 14. So you're getting 30% of your sugars, your kids are at that breakfast. So, you know, not ideal. There are these Scooby-Doo snacks. I mean, the breakfast is pretty rough. And then goldfish, obviously, is no bueno. So this is just, it's not ideal, but they're a little bit better. You know, the problem is that these snacks that they're serving for breakfast, they have so much vegetable oil in them, soybean canola oil, and that is going to cause a lot of inflammation. So let's bring up about milk. I think it's very interesting. So from the actual USDA guidelines, it says schools must offer students a variety, at least 2 different options of fluid milk. Schools may offer fat-free, unflavored, or flavor, and low-fat 1% milk. unflavored or flavored as part of the reimbursable meal for children grades K through 12. What's interesting about this is in the guidelines, it says children age one must be offered unflavored whole milk. So when you get, you know, K through 12, you cannot offer full fat, you know, whole milk, where you're getting that the healthier fats and better, you know, fat-free milk is basically just sugar water, you know, if you look at it from a why and in a standpoint. But, you know, this is where we look at big agriculture, big dairy, and all of these things, you know, with the seed oils and with the milk and with these foods that aren't nutritious. Yes, we're feeding kids, we're feeding people, but they're not nutritious. And that's a whole problem, you know, when we look at feeding kids and keeping our kids healthy. And that is why this is so important. And I recommend that everyone goes in and they meet with the administrator of food services at their child's school just to start a healthy conversation. So another thing I brought up was margarine. Now, the dietitian and I, we did not agree about margarine, and trans fats are actually banned in any of the breakfast lunch programs. You cannot have any trans fats. The problem is margarine is, it's just inflammatory. It's gross. So it's actually funny because another thing that comes down to in school programs is money, right? Everything comes down to money. So we were talking and the margarine is less expensive. So that's one of the reasons why also she likes it, and because it's cheaper, that it was on the menu. So I did talk with her about, you know, research shows that margarine is just really not that good. Butter, just plain butter would be better. My daughter talks about how kids just eat the margarine and that's all they eat for lunch. And I cringe with that. And it was funny because literally the week that we met, margarine, I don't know why it was more expensive or they were having problems getting it. I think that was it. She said they were having problems getting it and they had to look at something else, and she priced the butter and it was actually a better price. So butter is going to be on the menu for a while. So I was like, oh, that's good. But then I also mentioned, could you look into this in the future? Because butter is better, okay, from a nutritious standpoint. And that's what we want to look for. The other thing that comes into play with little things. So little things to start the conversation. So they had a hamburger and another mother had called and asked if there was any soy in the hamburger. And, you know, it says on the menu hamburger, and I think it's kind of gross that there was soy in there and they were serving soy. Because I would actually, since the free lunch program, my kids, all they want to do is buy lunch every week. And I'm like, we can do it once a month. And usually I just let them have the burger. Little did I know it had soy in it. But this mother had called and asked about it and was told that there was soy in the burger. She had asked, could you look into getting a whole 100% beef patty? And the administrator of nutrition and the school lunches, she priced it out, and actually it was within the budget and it was an okay thing to do. So they swapped out the soy beef burger for a beef hamburger. So that's one thing that you want to open conversations about. Another thing that I talked about was, can we do not as much canned vegetables and canned fruit? Can we do frozen fruit or, you know, even fresh? And now this is one thing, once again, we disagreed on. She thought that canned green beans taste better and you can't cook regular green beans correctly, which I disagree on that, because the Instapot, you can really cook delicious green beans that my kids fight over. So, but the reason why we want to talk about this is because canned food, even though it can come in a BPA-free lining, you still have some plastics leaching in there. And when we look at BPA and plastics in canned goods, because the can is lined with some sort of plastic, unless it's in a glass container, it's lined with plastic, then you're looking at estrogen and endocrine disruptors and estrogen mimickers, okay? And that could cause wreck havoc on hormones of men and women. If you're having extra chemicals in the environment acting like estrogen in your body, that can cause a lot of problems, right? And when we talk about estrogen, and we can talk about hormones in the milk and all of that also. So this is all a really big problem when we look at the food we feed our kids, and especially the kids that are relying on their nutritious meals of the day being at school. So I ask about that, you know, is there anything that we could do to just reduce chemical risk, you know, having the frozen broccoli instead of broccoli or green beans in a can or baked beans in a can or peaches in high fructose corn syrup, you know, what kind of stuff can we do different? So can you change the world and go in there and totally get a new menu and all organic food and all of this? No. I mean, there's budget. It comes down to budget. It comes down to money. It comes down to food waste too. And I'm very reasonable. I know that these kids, they could buy the lunch, they could get the lunch subsidized. Everyone gets it free right now. And they could throw half of it away, right? And also teachers and lunch attendants, they can see like what's thrown away and what's not. And then they give feedback to the administration on this. So I think that the goal would be to make little changes. My goal is just have my kids pack, right? Unless there is a healthy choice. Sometimes I do let them get salad, knowing that the salad dressing is not good. But, you know, you can pick your battles and you are going to make the most bang for your buck in changes at home. So you have to realize that as a parent, is your kids are going to be in environments where they're going to get candy, they're going to get yucky food, and that's okay because 80-20, if you give them mostly nutritious food at home, they're going to be okay. The reason why I get so fired up about the school menu is because not every kid has a parent like me that is able to or passionate about giving them healthy, nutritious food, or they don't know any better. You know, they think goldfish are fine to eat. Oh my gosh, I ate goldfish when I was little and I ended up with an autoimmune disease. Not that that caused it or anything, but I really, because of my medical history, want to avoid any disease for my children the best I can, knowing that. But at the same time, like I said, be reasonable and know that they are going to sometimes have bad things. So little wins. So what can you do, right? Well, I'm gonna put the guidelines down in the show notes so you guys can look at them and kind of come into meetings maybe being a little bit educated. Make a meeting with the administration. Just say you're a concerned parent. I don't know if it would be different in other states and other places, but the school board, they do not have anything to do with this. So I did go to the school board first and they hooked me up with the correct person to talk to. Okay. So set up a meeting, go in there with some good ideas. Know that their hands are kind of tied with these crappy regulations. And, you know, I mean, gosh, if I looked at this breakfast and lunch plan, this would be like, I didn't go over the lunch. So lunch for fruits, 2.5 cups, vegetables, 3¾. This is for the week, which is okay. And it classifies them in starchy, dark green, red, grains, 8 to 9, meats, 8 to 10. And then milk, 5. So I mean, I get it. I think they're trying. It's just, that would be more of a diet, with all the fruit at breakfast that would be wanting, you know, people to like gain weight or maybe have some insulin resistance. It wouldn't be the best diet I would put patients on for health. So when you look at that, notice there's influence. There's always influence, right, on these guidelines, and they're not always positive. So you could look at things like, hey, I see that there's pizza 5 times a week. Could we change that to just tacos or taco salad or something like that? Hey, is your meat patty 100% meat or is there soy in there? Because I was shocked on that one, let me tell you guys. Make sure, hey, I just want to make sure, are the Pop-Tarts that you're serving at breakfast, are they the ones that, you know, schools get that are dye-free? Maybe say, hey, could we look into some more like protein heavy, fiber heavy bars in the breakfast, for breakfast, to give these kids so they're not on a sugar high and falling asleep or hungry again at 10 a.m. And that's another thing that I spoke to, and that she said she was going to look into getting some more protein fiber rich breakfast bars. So I think that there's ways that we could make changes as parents. And I think it's our job and our responsibility, and it's our responsibility to look out for kids that, you know, or parents that don't know enough, right? Ignorance is bliss. It really is. But the more you know, the better you do. And if you're listening to this podcast, I know that you are invested in your health and you're invested in health of others too. So I guess your to-do list would be try to get involved, try to have a voice out there. I thought the win was me getting margarine to butter. And if that is a temporary thing, I don't know. If it's forever, I'll be so happy. I also plan on maybe doing a meeting once a year and just really working as a team. I think I came in and I was just like, oh, I'm so frustrated and angry about this. And I came out like, okay, how can we work together as a team? Because I know while we don't agree on nutrition, at least we agree that we want the best for the kids, and with new research and studies coming out that this is not the best thing. So I hope this is helpful for you guys. I wanted to give you an update, and it was going to be a lot longer than just a few Instagram story clips on this one. So I will put all the information in the show notes with some links for you guys to look up about all the guidelines. And thank you so much for tuning in. Have a great week.
This podcast is created and hosted by Jen Flegar and is for informational purposes only. It is not medical advice. This podcast disclaims responsibility for adverse effects from use of information contained in this podcast. This podcast does not promote opinions of their guests as their own and does not endorse or accept responsibility for statements made by guests of the show or endorse any qualifications for the guests of this podcast. Guests may have financial disclosures. If you think you have a medical problem, consult your personal physician or team. Thank you for joining.